B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz here, presented by DraftKings. First, Newton Whopper. Folks out there think Jared Stidham is still going to be the starting quarterback. And legitimate folks. And I include Zoe in that legitimate category. But the even more legitimate, Diana Russini reported, not that it's Russini, but she reported today. I spoke over text with an AFC East head coach on Cam Newton and the Patriots. Here's what this AFC East head coach said. So this is either Sean McDermott.
Flores.
Adam Gase. Oh, I'm sorry, Maz. You okay over there?
Flores.
Got a little cough?
Yeah, I'm good.
It's not a dry cough, is it?
Flores.
Why couldn't it be Bill?
Oh, that's so good, Stu. Oh, that's so good. And she just changed the pronoun to protect him? Because the quote is, I think they are going to keep three quarterbacks. So, you know, you ever do that before?
No, I didn't change that. No,
change the pronoun.
No, I would. What I would have done is leave. Believes the Patriots. The Patriots. Open quote. Will keep three quarterbacks.
There you go. Exactly. Right. I was trying to wonder how I got around that. I don't know if I changed they to.
No,
us.
You can't change they.
No. I wouldn't do that.
No,
but I would definitely try and worm my way around it somehow. Yeah. That's exactly how you do it.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. No, that's legit. Yeah, that's
you legit. Would say
Patriots is your word, and then you open the quote.
Right. Yes, you open the quote. You start by saying, "I think they quote are going to keep three quarterbacks."
Correct.
So good. All right, anyway, the AFC's head coach says, I think they, meaning the Patriots, are going to keep three quarterbacks. Use Cam Newton perhaps as the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one in the offense. I know one thing for a fact, the Patriots love Jared Stidham. End quote. That is from an AFC East head coach. We're going to guess Brian Flores just because when someone says, I know for a fact, feels like someone who knows the inner workings, which Flores, you know, certainly does as a former defensive coordinator here. He wasn't here last year when Stidham was here, but
correct.
Still knows a lot of the coaches, and I don't know, maybe that's a tip-off. I also just think that Adam Gase would be too scared to talk about Belichick. I think Sean McDermott's too smart to talk about Bill Belichick, and I think Brian Flores, having been here and knows everybody, probably cares a little bit less. Screw him.
I lean Flores first. Gase would be my second because he's stupid.
Either way, how do you feel about this take? That they're going to use Cam Newton as perhaps the wild card. Actually, don't see him starting week one. I know one thing for a fact. The Pats love Jared Stidham.
No shot that Cam Newton is here to be some sort of, like, change of pace, you know, wild card, wild cat. Call it whatever you want. No chance.
I agree.
Cam Newton is here to start. He's here to start at quarterback for the Patriots. That's why he's here.
Not here to back up. I think it works for nobody for him to back up. It makes no sense for him and what he's trying to do, which is get his career back on track and have a prove-it year and get the next big contract next year, the next big job next year, rehab his career, backing up, losing a starting job to Jared Stidham, and then sticking around holding a clipboard makes no sense for him. I don't know. That's not in his plans. And I don't think he's a good backup for the Patriots because I think he's such a big name and such an icon and such a, you know, still a force in the league as a name brand that as soon as Jared Stidham struggles, the fans are calling for Cam Newton. Everyone's calling for Cam Newton. And it's like, you got to deal with that whole can of worms.
And nobody knows that better than Bill, which that alone should tell you plenty. Like, go back to the old Matt Castle thing that you talked about in 2008. That when that thing happened, they didn't even bring in competition for Castle because they didn't want anyone looking over his shoulder. They didn't want him dealing with that. So the worst they did here was Brian Hoyer, who Stidham was already familiar with and already beat out once. Like, they weren't going to go beyond that. This is so against what Bill would typically do, Mike. The whole thing here is, no. They're bringing him in to start. This isn't about Stidham. It's about this part of it's about Newton.
I really don't like Cam Newton here as honest competition, meaning if it's just phony competition, that's one thing. To say to Stidham, you got a shot. But you don't really. But if he's really here Newton is to compete and possibly be the backup. Oh, I hate it. I think Jameis Winston would have made more sense there. I think Marcus Mariota would have made more sense there. Andy Dalton would have made a heck of a lot more sense there because all those guys are willing to back up. I can see it. They've all taken backup jobs. And maybe I could even mention some more that guys I'd rather hear to be that thing. Legit training camp competition, but also could be a backup and fit in as a back. I don't think Cam Newton's that guy. So I don't like Cam Newton in that role. You want to tell me Cam Newton's the guy and you turn the offense over to him and it's all Cam Newton? Fine. Okay, I can wrap my head around that one because I think he's, again, capable of a big year in this situation. But as a backup, I hate him there. I hate him in that spot. So I think if you had Cam Newton here and he lost the training camp battle, I would release him. Or maybe to save face for him, pretend there's an injury and cut him or something, you know. But I just wouldn't have him there on the sidelines. That's too big of a specter looming over Jared Stidham. And I don't think Cam Newton would respond well to it anyway. Is there another motive here? And this is another whopper from the big boy. Here's big boy speculating at the end of that story again from yesterday that we read and I didn't get to till overnight.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Okay, I got it. He does like himself some Brian
Hoyer.
Oh,
my Hoyer. God, that's a great drop. It's right up there with Brady's going to play in Dallas.
It's just the way he says it. There's just something about it.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Bedard wrote, there's another big upside for Stidham and the Patriots with the Newton signing. So there's upside for Stidham and the Patriots with the Newton signing. Let's just say Stidham beats out Newton. And Greg says in parentheses, and believe me, the Patriots team leaders will know the score on the field, as will the media, and will back whoever proves himself more on the field. He says, let's just say that happens. How great would that be for Stidham and the team? He says, say, for example, Stidham had just beaten out Hoyer. How much confidence do you think that would bring the Patriots' senior team members, the locker room, going into the season? Almost none. They would have no clue whether or not to be confident in Stidham because Hoyer's nothing. But if Stidham beats out Newton, now that's an accomplishment. That's knowing something about Stidham. Now everyone from Stidham to the veterans on the team would go into the season with a quiet confidence and some swagger, ready to take on the NFL. So I asked you this before. Would you put it past Bill to bring in Newton just to have Stidham beat him out in camp to pump up Stidham?
No.
So you wouldn't put it past Bill? You think there's a chance that that's happening?
Yeah, small chance, yeah. I don't think that that's why Newton's here. But would I put it past Bill? No.
That is diabolical. That is devious.
I just think Bill is devious. I mean, clearly. How many times has the guy been busted for cheating?
But this isn't cheating. This is really puppet master stuff.
Okay, but again, I'm just talking about, you said diabolical. Devious. Yes. I mean, he is those things to a certain degree. So, again, do I think that's what it is? No, I don't. I think Cam Newton's here to start. But would I put it past Bill? No, I put nothing past Bill.
So, do you put it past Stidham to honestly beat him out? If, say, Newton's totally healthy, okay? We'll give him total health. Newton's totally healthy, but still at the end of now what is a truncated preseason, that Stidham's the best guy, and they name Stidham the starter.
I lost you on the question.
I can see that happening. Sorry. Too convoluted. Do you think Newton could lose the job to Jared Stidham in camp?
No.
I do. I do.
I don't, because honestly, I just don't think that Stidham is good enough to beat him out. I think this whole thing, Newton being here, is that the Patriots said Stidham's not ready, and we wanted to see how he'd respond in terms of how he was going to approach it when Brady left, and they didn't get the level of output that they wanted. I was going to say intensity or focus, but they didn't get the output that they wanted. And so they said, you know what, we got to fill the gap, and we're going to set a higher standard for this kid again so he understands it. And then we'll see where we are in a year. That's what I think this thing's about, that Cam Newton is being brought in to make it clear to Jared Stidham, in part because you're not ready and Bill's not going to flush the season down the toilet.
Me too. So that's what I think too. But we're saying, are these other things possible? The only thing I think is not possible and not smart and should not be in the cards is Newton being here as a backup. And if Newton does, I'll give him credit, as I said earlier. If he's really willing to subjugate himself that much and just be with the program and be a backup with a chance to play or, just fill a role because he's that eager to be with the Patriots and whatever. I'll give him credit for that. That's really sacrificing a lot. I just don't think that's in the cards for him, and I don't think it's a good spot for the Patriots either. So that's the only one I reject, that he's here to back up or would back up. You'd have to release him.
Okay, but in terms of the competition between the two, let me ask you a question here. What offense are they going to run?
Right. It's a good point.
Okay, which one are they going to... Are they going to run the same offense, or are they running different offenses?
Because if they're running the same offense, if they're running the Tom Brady offense, that's not putting Cam Newton in the best position to succeed.
Exactly. So this is my point. You don't bring in... If they're going to do what you suggested yesterday, and I'm in agreement with you, that they're going to have to mold the offense around Newton at least significantly, maybe not 100%, but...
Oh, they should, 100%.
Pretty close.
I'd go 100%.
Pretty close. They're going to do... So they're going to build it around him one way. Then what? Stidham comes on the field, and they're going to change it to... So now how can you compare the two?
So that's another reason why he's a bad backup. But in terms of the competition... Right. I don't know. How do you compare the two? You pick one and you see if Stidham can play like Cam Newton.
And but again, now you're building it for Newton.
Yep.
Right. You're not building it for Stidham.
Yep.
So does Stidham have, so isn't that unfair to Stidham?
A little bit, but I think Stidham can do more of the Cam Newton things than Newton can do the Tom Brady offense things.
So that might be, yeah, that might be right.
Stidham's athletic. He can run.
But I do wonder too about the message this sends to Stidham in that way. So now Stidham's had 1 year in the Brady offense. Now Newton's here and they're going to change the offense. Now he's going to learn that one too.
Yep. Tough.
So maybe maybe it's a way for them to evaluate Stidham and see which he does better.
Don't go wedding hopping in Texas when we're trying to get ready for football season.
That's why I don't think any of this is to accommodate Stidham. That's all. It's not to accommodate Stidham. Now they're accommodating Newton. Stidham's screwed. For 2020, he's screwed.
Okay. So once again, an AFC East coach, according to Diana Rossini, believes that the Pats are going to keep three quarterbacks, use Cam Newton perhaps as the wild card. They actually don't see Cam Newton starting week one in New England, and that they know one thing for a fact, the Patriots love Jared Stidham. So that's Newton Whopper number one from today. Your reaction to it right after these words on Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If the guy's right, and I think that's the big gamble here, right? If the guy's right, yeah, you bring him in. I think he's got a two-month tryout. I really do. I think he's got a two-month tryout here, meaning the month of July, the month of August. Because really, when you study stuff about Cam Newton and you realize what Cam Newton is as a player, as a teammate, and all that, he's not a backup. I think Cam wants to be a starter. I think Cam feels that he's done enough in this league to get the opportunity to be the starter. Now, if Jared Stidham beats him out, which I'm still going to say Stidham's going to be the starter. I don't think Cam Newton will be on the football team.
That's so. Every once in a while. So gives you something more than just a nugget. You know, that's a pretty strong take. He still thinks Stidham's a starter and Cam Newton won't be on this team. He said that a couple times in the last couple days. So that's what we're discussing. That's the Newton Whopper number one to your calls, as promised. Tom and Quincy have been waiting patiently. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, when they were talking about Brady possibly leaving or retiring, right? All the conversations we've ever talked about someone coming here, was who's going to take over for Brady, not who's going to back up Jared Stidham. Because we all assumed that if Brady was gone and they were handing the reins over, you weren't going to focus on who was going to back him up, right? So now they get Newton, which I wasn't a huge fan, you know, 6 or 7 months ago when we talked about it. The fact is he's here. There's not a shot in hell he's backing someone up, right?
Right.
And the only question that I have is, because I've been listening to a lot of the national guys, they're all on board with the signing. The majority of the players in the league are thrilled. They think it's awesome for Newton because it's like a rebound and he can prove his career. I'm so surprised by Richard Sherman, because I usually like to listen to Richard Sherman. I think he's a very entertaining guy. He's very intelligent. He's way off the mark with the comments he's making, because he's pissed – because he signed for the $1 million flat, you know, guaranteed money, and it's all incentive based. And he's comparing them to these free agents that are starting in the league. Most of them suck.
Well, I mean, Tom, let me tell you, Richard Sherman complained about Cam Newton's salary when all these other guys are making, lesser guys making much more. And Tom, thanks for the call. To me, Richard Sherman, if he's saying that about the league, fine. You know, if you know, what I always say is that the league is stupid. I mean, and hopefully that Cam Newton goes on this tour, this FU tour. You all passed on me, and I can still be an elite guy, and hopefully that's proven. But my point is, Sherman shouldn't be yelling at the Patriots. He's the one. It's the one team that gave him a job. No one else was willing to give him a job at any number. So if Richard Sherman is scolding the Patriots, I'd say I'd scold Jacksonville or Chicago or a team like that that still has lesser players at the position.
Hey, look, if you're asking me, am I surprised that Cam Newton stayed out on the market as long as he did and only ended up getting basically $1 million guaranteed and had to play for incentives? Yes, I am. Yep, absolutely. I'm stunned that it happened this way. I can't believe that somebody didn't give him more of a chance.
Jeff and Haverhill been waiting patiently. Jeff, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Right. Well, I think we have to get into why Malcolm Butler was sat during the Super Bowl.
Huh.
And this ties into the Patriot way, this whole thing you're talking about.
Well, I think these are separate items.
Oh, no. The Patriot, why did he sit Malcolm Butler? Is it because he was sick and wasn't with the team?
I don't believe that. No, I think it was a personal/business thing between Bill and him.
Right. It's about money.
Oh. All right. So Tom Brady, the next year, doesn't go to OTAs. Doesn't contribute to the Patriot way, and this whole thing spirals out of control. And Malcolm Butler was just—it was like a disciplinary thing.
I think so. I mean,
I don't get the connection.
Yeah, me neither.
But what I would tell you,
Patriot way—it's
the Patriots way is garbage. The Patriots way is not. I've never said Patriot way.
Okay,
it's Bill's way.
There, it's being at OTAs, the guy working harder than anybody else.
It's Bill's way. It's what Bill wants. And Bill had a beef with Malcolm Butler that didn't have anything to do with football and held him out of the most important game of the year, and it cost him. And that is on Bill. But, right, make no mistake, it ain't the Patriot way. It's Bill's way. So Bill had a personal thing with Malcolm Butler. He sat him. It cost him. Bill wants you to show up in the offseason. Okay, that's part of Bill's way, the Patriot way. Bill doesn't want you choreographing your celebrations and doing that stuff. Okay, that's Bill's way. It's not the Patriot way. I think Bill's right about some of that stuff. The celebrations, for one, the off-season work, I think he's right. The Malcolm Butler thing, horrible miss. Horrible mistake by him.
Yeah.
But the Patriot way is Bill's way. That's what it is.
I mean, look, if you're looking for a link between Butler and Brady, I'll give you one. Contracts. Butler wanted one. They wouldn't give it to him. He got pissed. He got disenchanted. He started playing poorly. Bill, resented the fact that he wasn't given a maximum effort in the final year of the deal, and he ultimately buried him in the Super Bowl. Brady, same deal. Wanted a contract, didn't get one, said, if you're not going to invest in me, I'm not going to invest in you, and I'm not coming to OTAs. That's what it was about. Both of them.
Isn't the Patriot way, we'll let some stuff fly until you want to get paid, and then your ass is out the door?
Oh, that's a big part of the Patriot way.
That's a huge part of the Patriot
huge
way.
Huge part of the Patriot way. You're fine until you ask for more money.
Right.
Or you're fine until Bill offers you a contract and you turn it down. Then you have violated the Patriot way. That's, near the top of the list, one, two, or three.
Ask Tom Brady that.
Ask any player that.
We were talking about, the difference between appeasing Cam Newton and appeasing Tom Brady, right? Well, Cam Newton took the contract the Patriots offered. Tom Brady wanted more money. Now they're going to, let Newton get away with stuff, as we've been talking about all day? I guess that truly is the Patriot way.
I mean, ultimately, it's behind, every breakdown they've had with any player. Just about. Mankins, Seymour, Vinatieri. Go right down the road. Deion Brandt. It's always about the money.
Of course. You don't ever hear me touting the Patriot way. You don't hear those words escape my lips. I don't say that. Bill wants it a certain way. I think he's right about some things. I think he overplays some others and is flat out wrong about some others. But the off-season work, to me, is he's got right. It starts with the hard work, and it starts in the offseason for the quarterback position and all that stuff. That's one I agree with him on. Mark in Salem. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? I'm curious if this might be on the table. Maybe not such a straightforward sort of approach to the starting position for quarterback. Being that Stidham and Newton offer such differing skill sets. I mean, I know Stidham's got some speed, but he's not like Cam Newton. Would there be the potential, depending on the opponent, having switching up the quarterback situation and like hiding it in Bill's back pocket and announcing it. You know, not telling, you know, and you don't even know who's going to start.
Quarterback by committee.
I hate that. It's just name an elite NFL team that's ever done it.
It wouldn't work.
It's just, no.
No, because again, a team needs a leader. The offense needs a leader. It needs a direction. It needs all of that.
But you raise an interesting point. If the Pats really want to make it a quarterback competition and a fair competition, what scheme do they run?
Exactly. That's a huge thing.
So I think Stidham plays a little bit more like Newton than people are giving it credit for. I mean, Stidham will run. He will run. He's not as big and powerful, so I'm not like he's not going to be somersaulting over the goal line on a quarterback sneak like Cam Newton because Cam Newton's 260 or whatever. But Stidham runs, can run. So, but again, to make it a fair competition, what scheme do you use to judge them both in?
Yeah, I mean,
and so my answer is, I think you tailor this whole thing to Cam Newton. You tailor it to Cam Newton, and if Stidham still looks like the better guy, then okay, I guess. But I'm bringing in Newton to turn him loose and get the most out of him.
So now 1 year in, Jarrett Stidham has to learn a different offense?
My guess is, yeah. It's going to be the same terminology, the same stuff. But, you know, back to, I'm sure, at Auburn, he did all sorts of goofy read option stuff, all that college stuff.
I mean, they both went to the same school now that I think of it, right?
Obviously, but, are the schemes anywhere?
I don't know.
I have no idea. But, I mean, so but whatever happened, the Patriots, I still believe, changed their mind on Stidham over the course of the offseason. So maybe it's something Stidham did or they just had a change of heart. But if it's something Stidham did, well, that's his penance, you know? We didn't like the way you approached this offseason, so we're going in a different direction. You still have a chance to catch him, but we're not doing you any favors. We're not going to cater the thing for you. We're catering the thing for the other guy.
Yeah, and then, I mean, to me, again, Newton's here to play. They're going to build it around Newton. But now I wonder, the more I think about it, what does that mean for Stidham in the long term? So, again, he spent 1 year as Brady's understudy running that offense. Now they're going to run this offense? Like, so what they want to see the versatility or but doesn't that sort of slow down his development?
And I think you raise a good point. Keith in Providence, who's that AFC East coach?
It's not an AFC coach. Here's my conspiracy theory. We know that Matt Patricia is Bill's bitch. So Matt Patricia's feeding the information and just saying, "Say I'm an AFC coach."
Okay, so Diane Rossini's flat out lying. I'm not going to do that to her.
No, I don't think she's lying.
I'm going to take her comment and her reporting at face value. There's an AFC East coach who thinks Stidham's still going to be the starter in week one. Cam Newton's a wild card, and the Patriots love Jared Stidham.
That's a big mistake by her to say AFC East.
Why?
It whittles it down to three people.
I know, that really does.
You know, like, say AFC. Or, like, you know, rival coach or AFC East. I mean, if I'm one of those three, even if it's not me, I'm pissed. Like, what are you doing? Put me on a hit list for crying out loud.
Again, there's some breaking NFL news this afternoon. McCarthy has it right here, and we're back to discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With your thoughts here before we hit the final word, zip through your phones. Mike in Weymouth joins us next on the Patriots quarterback situation. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I just wanted to make a couple comments. The first thing is that I think this deal is an absolute no-brainer. I mean, we basically got a former MVP for free. The thing that bugs me is why did no other team be interested in that? The second thing is why did they wait so long to do it? They could have done this a long time ago.
So that was my original thought, Mike. Like, they missed some prep time, and I don't know. Everyone should have realized, thanks for the call, that Cam Newton wasn't going to get a job anywhere else, and this all could have been figured out a long time ago. And maybe he would have gotten a little more prep, maybe more time on the field, and you know, the more the better. Not that it's the biggest deal in the world. Bedard, getting back to him, his thing was that the Pats were not expressing any interest in Newton or offering him anything because all they were ever going to offer anyone was $1 million minimum, the minimum salary. And the Patriots felt if they made that offer to Newton in March, April, even May, that that would insult him. And they didn't want to insult Newton. They didn't want to piss him off. They didn't want to have the appearance of being cheap because they feared that the agent would have spread word and word would have gotten out that they tried to sign Cam Newton for $1 million minimum salary, those cheap bastards. And that they were afraid of that optic. So they waited till the very, very last, till Newton had nothing and came to them hat in hand, which, wow, that is a delicate, complicated threading the needle. But that's what Big Boy thinks might have happened there, Greg Bedard.
Okay, then if it happened that way, they didn't really want the player.
Exactly. Put it to you like this. If the idea is just to compete with Stidham and maybe be the backup, then I'd rather have Andy Dalton in that spot. I think that Newton obviously has a higher ceiling and is capable of more and is more talented. But I think Dalton fits much better as a potential backup second guy after the training camp competition. So Dalton got three and a half guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then seven, you know, on incentives. I'd rather have Dalton in that case. If they're banking on Newton to just turn, you know, give him the keys and turn the whole thing over to Newton, turn the offense over to him and turn him loose, that's different. Then I think I'm taking Newton over Dalton and the $1 million. It's a good contract for the Patriots. But, you know, I don't worry about the Patriots and their contracts. They usually get the contracts right. Like, big deal. That doesn't impress me anymore.
Dalton's a better fit. For what, if Stidham was the guy, Dalton's a better fit.
But I don't think that's what happened. I think they changed their mind on going with Stidham at some point and so activated Newton. Just went to Newton because he was there. And if the best option out there at this point was Harry Schmedlap, that would be your quarterback. It's just whoever was sitting there when they got to this point. That's what I think.
See, now I'm shaking my head because I'm starting to think back to those stories about Stidham's organizing his workouts. All that propaganda. Which is exactly what it was. Because bringing Cam Newton in here, again, Newton now I think is motivated. I think we would all agree.
Well, why is that propaganda? I think maybe at the time Stidham was the guy. He was organizing the workouts. And subsequently, the Pats have had a change of heart about him being ready this year. So maybe it stemmed from those workouts. Maybe it stemmed from a lack of workouts. Maybe it stemmed from, I don't know, I have no idea what it
could be. But that's what I'm getting at. It's not then about organizing the workouts. It's about the fact that what was happening in those workouts wasn't what they wanted.
I don't know what it was. I think they had a change of heart on Stidham this year.
See, so Stidham was around Brady last year. And now, I don't know, maybe they want to show him what a really motivated quarterback looks like.
Mm.
Maybe that's the whole reason Newton's here.
Maybe. Tim in Nashville. Go ahead, Tim.
I think you guys are way off. I think this is insurance, and that's about it. With this pandemic, you need something. You know, they're just taking basic chance with him. I really don't think that they believe that they can just insert him after all the work that they've done with Stidham.
Okay, well, let's find out. So then you believe the conspiracy theory that Newton is just here to goose Stidham and have Stidham beat him out in camp and, you know, pump up Stidham's bona fides by beating out Cam Newton in camp.
Okay. I mean, I'll tell you, the idea that he is quote-unquote insurance, I think I dismiss more rapidly than anything else we've heard. Cam Newton is not an insurance policy.
No, he's a lottery ticket.
Exactly right.
Brian Hoyer's an insurance policy.
Exactly right.
Cam Newton, boring, stayed in case something really goes wrong, he's there for you. Newton is a scratch ticket. Jerry in Chelsea. Go ahead, Jerry. You're up next. Excuse me. Felger Maz. Hi.
Do you think that Cam is here because of our schedule? I mean, I have not seen Stidham play, but I think he could have gone 8-0 last year.
So you're right. There was that schedule was so weak last year. Anyone could have, Maz could have played quarterback, and you would have been 8-2 after 10 games. Do they need a better quarterback to navigate this schedule?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yes, but what, it took them till June 29th to figure that out?
Yeah, they've known that for a long time. Again, it's not like the opponents are surprised.
They knew the schedule last January.
They
knew the opponents.
Yeah, so, but somewhere along the line, I think they looked at Stidham and said, he's not ready. He's not as ready as we thought he might be. He's not.
Dennis and Dedham for me. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, just kind of disagreeing with you. You said the Patriot waste, this, that, stinks. You know, I'm a little older than you guys. I used to watch Joe Camp at Harvard Stadium. It was tough. Now, right now, we got, I think, the absolute smartest owner in the league, and he's got the absolute smartest coach. That coach, unfortunately, is no kid. I wish he was 40 and had another 40 years. But we got to believe that there's no year off. There's no bridge year. We got to believe in this kid. We're going to take Cam Newton. He's going to take us. And we're going to have another shot at another bowl.
Okay, I love it. I'm in. No bridge year. I never thought, and never mind the thank God we can now officially retire the tanking for Trevor Lawrence calls. Okay, we can now officially retire that.
You sure about that?
Yes.
What if they cut Newton?
All of a sudden they're going to decide to tank for Trevor in August now?
No. I didn't say they were going to do that. You said the calls. We can put an end to the calls. If Newton gets cut, the calls are coming back.
This is not it is a Belichick full steam ahead trying to win football games. So that is obviously good news. Paul in Maine. Go, Paul.
Hey, guys. I relish the change. I think this is a tantalizing transition. I can't wait to see Cam Newton get coached up by Bill. And, guys, remember, Bill's a defensive genius, so he knows better than anyone just how hard it is to defend guys like Newton. You know he'll deploy him in a way that maximizes him as an offensive threat. I mean, one thing's for sure, it's not going to be boring.
Absolutely. And the way you maximize Newton as an offensive threat is run him. Run him, run him, run him. And, or, you know, the running sets or the threat of the run, all that. And that will be interesting, all the run schemes they come up with. Normally not an interesting thing to talk about or consider, but with Newton, it will be interesting.
I mean, Newton's a nightmare from that standpoint, because what are you going to do, spy him? Okay, spy him. The guy better be big enough to bring him down, though. I mean, it's not like he's a little quarterback. He's like 6'6", 265. He's
big fella.
He's gigantic. What are you going to do, spy him with a safety? The guy will get trucked.
Anthony and Medford, go.
Yeah, it's Cam Newton's job to lose. Anybody that thinks that doesn't know football. I mean, the guy's a co-MVP, Mike. MVP is an overall pick. He averaged, 7 yards? Matt said the run factor alone.
So let me tell you something, Anthony.
7 yards a carry.
Anthony?
And he's so big.
Okay, thank you for that's true.
He isn't like Jackson. I mean, Jackson's unbelievable. But when he runs, if he's healthy now, don't get me wrong, he's got to be healthy. But if healthy, like that other call said, we got a shot maybe while we're running for another Super Bowl, guys.
Okay. If he's effective, if he's playing really well, you have a chance at another Super Bowl. I would agree. It's not just health. It's not just health. He's been healthy some of these years over the last 9 and not played well. He's had an up and down career. I don't think people fully appreciate it. And not all the downs were the result of injury. So he's got to be healthy and effective. And if he is, I think they do have a chance to go to another Super Bowl. They do. They have a chance to win the division, get a bye, which gives you the chance. That makes you a contender. But the thing he said that I hear over and over again, he's a former MVP first-round pick. It's his job to lose. Thank God Bill is not one of those guys that gives jobs out and sets his depth chart based on where you were drafted or what award you won in the past. That is zero bearing. You understand that. You agree with that.
Yes, but I also think he brought in Newton because he thinks there's something left and they can get a lot out of him. And so, you know, it's like the Randy Moss thing. Bill saw in Randy Moss and said, this guy's got something in the tank. There's still something there to tap. Like, I was just looking at Newton's numbers. His average, because the caller said it, his average yards per rush in his career, 7.5. You know how many rushing touchdowns he has?
Oh, I think it's, there's some great stats related to this. Go.
58 rushing touchdowns. He's the best runner on the team right now. Better than Sony Michel, I'll tell you that.
Okay, in the last 2 minutes or so we have before the final word, I just want to mention something that's close to Maz and I, and that is the Boston Herald announced a new round of layoffs. And in those layoffs was longtime Celtics writer Steve Bulpet. There's another one that's not in the story, and I just want to make sure that it was the other guy that you told me about.
Tom Keegan.
Okay, Tom Keegan, who's a new columnist there. And those are the latest guys gone at the Herald. And I just want to express how badly that sucks. And not just for them personally, which is obviously where you start, and it breaks my heart to have anyone lose a job or lose a job in this business, you know, especially since it's my chosen profession, and it's just, it blows, and it blows for those guys. But not just that, and that goes without saying, losing their livelihood. It blows for us that two more guys that are important to the coverage and so important to what we do here on this show and just the, you know, picking through information and coverage, whether it's news or analysis, to have qualified veteran guys that give you stuff that no kid coming out of college is able to give you, and we've just lost two more. And that freaking blows. And it's just the trend of that whole business, and I it breaks my heart. Steve Bulpet is as close. When I started at the Herald with Maz in 1989, Steve Bulpet was the Celtics writer, for crying out loud. 30-something years ago, he's been doing this. And he's super tight with Danny Ainge. And so when Steve Bulpet wrote something about the Celtics, and certainly having to do with Ainge, you knew where it was coming from. And you could say that that's biased on one hand, but on the other hand, you know what Ainge is thinking. And that is so valuable. We've just lost that. And that's a big thing to lose. Keegan was just got here within the last year or two, but already had totally entered the fray. Felt like he was cozying up to Belichick. He was with the Belichick crew. And so he wrote all sorts of stuff that we react. Just yesterday, we were picking through his column. And, you know, it didn't take him long to ingratiate himself and have, he was a opinion maker and a columnist, but he was in there and you could tell he was in there and he gave us something to pick our way through, whether we were blasting him or, you know, crediting him or whatever. And just to lose two more of those is just, it's not good, folks. I know you like to rail against the media and rail against sports writers and screw the media and screw them. You don't understand how important they are. You know, especially those guys. What we do is easy. It's nothing. We just react to what they do. They put in the work all day and then write and produce something. And then we, an a-hole like us, comes on over the top and picks it apart. It ain't about us. It's about those guys, those writers who are there every day. And every time we lose one, we all lose something. That is just tough news, man. Sorry for that rant.
No, not a rant at all. Look, I'm going to sound like a grumpy bastard now when I say this. But believe me, these guys are both old school. Old school. Like old school, you know, beat guys. And again, I knew Keegan when he was at the New York Post and he was, you know, writing baseball columns and columns there. And Keegan's an old school tabloid newspaper reporter. That's what he is at his core. He's a columnist in Boston, but he was a guy that worked a beat, knew how to get information, and he knew how to do it. And same with Bulpet. Bulpet did it a long, long time. And look, I you know, I don't know how you feel. I don't know that we've ever talked about this specifically, but I got a pretty good idea. That experience for me was invaluable.
Oh,
covering a beat.
Oh,
so you rely on those people because you know what they're doing. You know, they know what they're doing. You know what they're going through. And so I, you know, to me, I'm worried about the newspaper business in general, like everybody,
the whole reporting business. If it just turns to us all sitting there and, you know, COVID or not, you know, I don't know. I hope this doesn't open up to what the leagues ultimately want, but they'll just sit on our laptop talking to these guys on Zoom. You ain't going to get nothing. And the whole fodder, the whole industrial take complex is based on the coverage of these guys. And without it, what do we got?
And we worked with Steve for a long time. Steve is, Bulpet was synonymous with Celtics coverage here for a long time. Long time. That's a big loss.
And if they can't, like, if you don't have that guy, what are you doing? It's, you know, our former paper. I worked there 19 years. I don't know, Maz, was it you were right around the same
amount, I was there 19,
right?
Yeah.
19 years, for crying out loud. Hugely important outlet in this city. You know what you want? Just the Globe running free? Just doing their thing?
Owned by the Red Sox?
Exactly. Or you need a second little pesky voice. And by the day, it's at that the Herald, man. Anyway, so thoughts to Keegan and Bulpet. And on that note, we'll go to the final word right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the guaranteed lowest price on tires, you have to go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Absolutely nobody.
Nobody, Mateki.
We do have a follow-up from yesterday's final word when we relived Maz's thoughts on the Summer Olympics coming to Boston.
Thank you.
This is not the only thought Maz has had on the Olympics coming to Boston. He was, however, a little bit confused at one point which Olympics were coming to Boston.
At one point.
The money spent has definitely gotten kooky. But that doesn't mean everyone has to follow suit.
I'll tell you what. I would love to see it here. But, no shot. No shot. They will never in a million years win this bid. Never in a million years.
Why?
We're not equipped. It's not big enough. When the city's not big enough, we're not close enough to, like, mountains, you know.
Yes, we are.
Well, how far do you have to go for an Olympic-caliber mountain?
It's the Summer Olympics.
Summer?
Summer.
For sure, summer.
All right, Maz, shut your mic. You're not even in this conversation. We're looking for mountains.
Now we're shopping for mountains. Wow.
We can't even have a conversation with you.
Who's the coach of UConn?
What is your problem? You thought the whole time we were going for the Winter Olympics.
I thought we were talking winter.
Okay.
We do have the space to build a swimming pool. I don't debate that we have the space. I believe we do have the space if we wanted to build
the
facilities.
Where are we putting the toboggan run?
We could find a place to put the stuff.
Olympic size?
Ay vey. No, Maz, these are the Summer Olympics, kids.
Yeah, we still can't handle the volume of people coming in here.
Now, I would contend that the Winter Olympics might make more sense because, Maz, we do have mountains and we do have hockey rinks.
We
do have these items.
You can always build a toboggan.
No, they are close. Comparatively speaking, there have been Winter Olympic sites where you go farther to the mountains than we do to go to the mountains here. So, actually, Winter Olympics, but it's just that's not what we're talking. They're bidding for the Summer Olympics, Maz, in 2024.
July,
summer.
August, summer. Hot.
Summer.
Pools.
It's so good.
Might be the most embarrassed I've ever been on the air.
And he referenced when he once said about UConn going for the national championship. Well, Jim Calhoun has passed him by, and Kevin Ollie has been the coach for like 6 years or something.
Yeah, I missed that one.
But the Summer Olympics had been on the table for months and months and months. And Maz this whole time thought it was the winner. Oh, it's a great moment. Thank you for bringing that
back. Beto was obviously on the show then, so we were like a few years in.
Yeah, it was early on.
Right?
December 14.
I wasn't reading the papers. I wasn't reading on those stories. I'm like, I'm not reading about the freaking Olympics. Those aren't coming here.
Wouldn't be the first time this show hasn't cared about facts, right?
I'm going to waste my time reading about the Olympics. Like, we're ever going to talk about those, and like those are going to come.
Facts overrated. Ooh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.